Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. Our guest today is Lindsay Jean Hard, author of the new book, Cooking with Scraps, Turn Your Peels, Cores, Rinds, Stems, and Other Odds and Ends into Delicious Meals. Lindsay Jean, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
The food world is full of perfect pairings, like peanut butter and jelly, macaroni and cheese, and spaghetti and meatballs. Today, I want to tell you about a show about people that are each other's perfect match. It's called One True Pairing. Co-hosts Erica and Marissa talk about love, pop culture, and their favorite celebrity couples. It's full of hilarious banter, fun games, and happily ever afters. Check out One True Pairing wherever you get your podcasts. So the U.S. wastes an incredible 133 billion pounds of food per year. Is that right?
Yeah, it is a really staggering number. It's like 40% of what we're eating home ends up going to the landfill.
So what is all that food and how does that happen? What are sort of the main causes of all that food waste?
There's a number of different causes, but a lot of it is stuff we're just not getting to and discarding. It's just going bad or rotting, and a piece of that would be food scraps, too, that are edible, but we aren't putting to good use.
So this book definitely helps to address some of that issue. And what you're really trying to do in the book is help people figure out how to use parts of the ingredients or parts of their leftovers that they aren't really used to cooking with.
Yes, and trying to make it, as easy and, not overwhelming as possible. So it just becomes a natural thing that people start to think about as they're cooking with these ingredients.
So how did this start for you? I know that before you went into food, you were studying urban planning. Can you talk about kind of how your career came to this point?
Yeah, it's been a pretty interesting path. And throughout it all, I've really been interested in sustainability all along the way. It's just manifested in different ways. So, yes, my master's degree is in urban planning, and I just have a big interest in cities and how they work. But then I moved to Japan for a couple of years with my husband and really got more into food and cooking and joined the CSA there and learned how to use a lot of ingredients that I wasn't familiar with. And they have an expression, motenai. It's a word that expresses regret regarding wastefulness. And it's somewhat similar to our expression of waste not, want not. But to me, the Japanese word manages to not only capture that feeling of regret for wasting a really precious resource, but it also holds on to the gratitude of what a gift that thing is and how we should really be making the most of it. So that really resonated with me. And then I worked for a local startup company here in Ann Arbor that was all about connecting with the sources of your food and getting to know farmers and their growing practices. And from there, I went to Food 52 and was a writer and an editor. And one of my columns was all about cooking with scraps and highlighting recipes from the Food 52 community that were making use of these underutilized ingredients. And so it's just really been an undercurrent for me that just has manifested in food and not the book.
So I think a big part of learning to cook this way is really changing your mindset about certain pieces of ingredients, certain things that we think of as maybe byproducts or just garbage in the kitchen. So anything from, vegetable tops to leftover pickle juice to cobs and rinds and kind of those things that we just think of in our heads as garbage or compost. Can you talk about a few of the ingredients that are maybe the gateway scraps to learning to cook this way and some of the things that are really easy for people to incorporate into their food prep?
Yeah, I think that root and vegetable tops are really an easy gateway. So carrot greens and beet greens, and then some of the stems of greens like collard stems or Swiss chard stems or kale stems because they're things that recipes often stay, like, to cut off and discard. So I think it's just become habit to us that we read it in a recipe and then don't think that it might have another use. So those are really easy ones to start using and just saute, like other greens, or turn it to pestos, using hummus.
Every week on this show, I tell you about a cookbook that's making big waves in the food world. Good cookbooks matter because they bring families close and create great memories. So I want to tell you about another podcast that explores how books change lives called But That's Another Story. It's hosted by Will Schwalbe, who was a guest on this show back in April. You might also know him as the founder of the recipe website Cookster.com. In each episode, Will talks to an influential guest about the book that changed their life. The guests share personal stories that connect their favorite books to events in their lives in ways you wouldn't expect. It's emotional, inspirational, and really moving. And every week, you'll come away with new books to add to your reading list. You can find But That's Another Story wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for But That's Another Story. Obviously, another big part of the problem is that we buy food and then we don't use it in time and it goes bad. What are some tips you have for storage or just kind of meal planning and thinking differently about how to use things and what to do with things when they're kind of on their last legs?
Yeah, that is obviously one of the biggest ways that we're wasting food. I try to start by planning out my meals. And that doesn't mean that I'm always planning to it and sticking to it exactly. I still like to go to the farmer's market and buy whatever catches my eye and then try to plan meals around that. But as long as you're thinking about how you're going to use something when you buy it, there's a lot less chance that it's going to go bad. Storing your food properly, like you said, is also a really big factor. So like if you're buying beets at the farmer's market, when you take them home, you don't necessarily need to wash everything right away because it'll stay fresher longer if you don't, but you do want to separate the greens from the roots. Taking time to make sure that you're spraying things the right way when you get them home. And then I would say the third most important piece is utilizing your freezer. Because especially once you get to the point of something like starting to go bad, or you see that I'm not going to get to this recipe that I thought I was going to this week, but doing whatever you can to store it in the freezer for later will not only help you from wasting food, but also ideally it helps you get one step closer to a meal later on when you have a chance to use those ingredients.
One of my favorite kind of scrap ingredients in this book that gets talked about in a way that's really exciting is potato water. Can you tell us a little bit about that and some great ways to use it?
That is one that I picked up from a longtime Food 52 user, Antonia James, and that was kind of a revelation to me when I first read about it too. But when you're cooking potatoes, they're leaving a lot of that starch behind in that water. So instead of just pouring that water down the drain, I learned from her to save that and use it when you're going to be making stocks or if you're going to be making bread. Like, that can just add a lot of that nice moisture and starchiness into other dishes.
What are a few of your favorite recipes in the book to serve to people who are maybe a little bit skeptical of the whole concept, to show them that this really isn't, you know, food that's any worse or any less delicious than food that you would make with brand new stuff you're buying from the grocery store?
That is such a hard question. I would say that for sure the banana peel cake with brown sugar frosting, because that's one that no one would even guess that it isn't made with bananas itself. It's made with the peel because it tastes exactly like banana bread or banana cake. And then I also am a big fan of sorry, a toy is going off in my daughter's room. I'm also a big fan of the corn cob. Uses the corn cob yaki onigiri is grilled rice balls, and that's taking the flavor that's left behind on the corn cob, so like the corn milk and like little bits of the kernels, and it's giving a lot of flavor to the rice. And then I think for right now, my one shape might be the watermelon and granita, just to get the last of summer melons in. But it's just a really refreshing, lightly colored granita that's really flavorful. And then it has the basil whipped cream with it, too, which is flavored with basil stems. So it's refreshing and summery. And, yeah, with all of those things, I just don't think that people would guess that you're using something that's typically discarded.
Well, it's such a fantastic book, and it's just full of these really brilliant tips and tricks that I think really change the way you think about food waste and leftover ingredients in the kitchen. So thank you so much for telling us about it.
Thank you so much.
Check out the book, Cooking with Scraps, Turn Your Peels, Cores, Rinds, Stems, and Other Odds and Ends into Delicious Meals by Lindsay Jean Hard. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.